In the name of God, our Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Here's this Corinthians passage once again. Brothers and sisters, the time is limited. And from now on, those with spouses should live as if you had none. Those who are in mourning should live as if you're not mourning. Those of you who are enjoying life, live as if you're not enjoying life. Those of you with possessions, live as if you had none. And those of you engaged in the world, live as if you aren't entangled in it. Here's a passage from Dag Hammarskjöld, former UN Secretary General, who grew up, mother's side of his family were all clergy, and the father's side were all civil servants in government for many, many generations. And after his death, he'd left his spiritual journal. Nobody even knew he was technically spiritual. And he left this profound volume, which I will share a portion. And this summer, our friends from Sweden, Stefan Sofsten, has composed an oratorio based on this book. He's bringing a choir of 15 people from Sweden again. We're making plans for a major concert to celebrate the United Nations 70th anniversary at Grace Cathedral. You'll hear more about it. 6 month advance warning. Here's why. This is just opener. Dag Hammarskjöld. Faith is a state of the mind and the soul. The language of religion registers our basic spiritual experiences. Religion is not to be regarded as a philosophy, the reality of which is accessible to our senses and which we can analyze with tools of logic. No. I myself was late in understanding what this meant. When I finally reached that point, the beliefs in which I was once brought up, and which in fact had given my life direction, even while my intellect challenged their validity. I'll say that again. I was late in understanding what religion meant. When I finally reached that point, the beliefs in which I was once brought up and which had given my life direction, even though my intellect had challenged their validity, these beliefs, you see, became mine in their own right and my own free choice. They became the foundation of my life of active social service, working for the harmony of the whole human community. Get that? I didn't understand what had shaped me. Well, much later on, and then I realized it had been the foundation of my life. Fascinating. That's the way most of us here have come into the faith. Not all necessarily, but most. Here's another fun example. In the Wall Street Journal this week, there was an article by a scientist, I didn't catch his name, who said that 30 years ago, Carl Sagan said, you know, for there to be life on a planet, it needed only two things, water and seal. Mark, what's the other one? I don't know. Ozone. Who knows? Okay, none of the rest of us will fathom this. Well, the scientist goes on to say, Carl Sagan was wrong. It turns out there are 50 critical, essential elements for life to exist on any planet in our universe. Minimally 50, and they must all be present. One of them is a solar system, which is friendly. So it's not just the planet. You got a whole solar system. And then he gave one other example. He said, Pluto. about which few of us think on a regular basis, has been absorbing, is it 10,000 meteor strikes every year, century, whatever? Okay. And without Pluto, the Earth would have been pulverized eons ago. Now, just because we didn't know that doesn't mean it isn't important, right? We can offer prayers of thanksgiving today for Pluto, like never before. Wow! Without Pluto, we wouldn't be here, even though we didn't know it. And so it is our text for today, our exceedingly strange and delightful. If you have a spouse, live as though you don't have one. If you're mourning, live as if you aren't mourning. If you're happy, live as if you aren't happy. If you do have possessions, live as if you're poor. And if you're engaged in this world, live as if you're not entangled in the world. What? Spirituality is about a new way of seeing. And what blocks spiritual wisdom and teaching and insights is when we have the assumption, either, I already know that, or, I don't need to know that. And it goes nowhere. Pluto, big deal. Who cares? Right? All of us. What Paul's talking about is detachment. Now, we tend to think that that's a Buddhist notion. Hardly. It belongs to all of us. And detachment is not about getting detached from the world, from the things of the world, let alone the people of the world. Thank God I don't have to relate to Rhonda anymore, because I'm detached. I'm becoming spiritual. No, detachment is to become detached from ourselves, from our agendas, from our habitual ways of thinking, from the requirements we put on life, saying it has to be this way or I'm not participating. And it's extremely hard to become detached. This is what prayer and meditation and these tools are about, to equip us so that we can live as detached beings, which is not uncaring. It's just that we're clearer about how we live with others. And just because we've never accomplished it doesn't mean it can't happen. Right? Jonah's story, one of our favorites. Crossing Nineveh, larger than Los Angeles. Jonah cries out, repent, and the people start to do it. And when the word gets to the king, he mandates, the whole society shall do it, including all of the animals. Everyone is fasting, getting on their knees, groveling with their faces in the earth. Maybe God will have mercy upon us. And who's the only person in the story not to repent? Jonah! He's disappointed by the response. He didn't believe it was possible for people to change. To turn around, to become new, to ask for mercy. He just didn't. He couldn't believe it. And that's why Jonah is one of the best comedies ever written. It is hilarious, because it's telling the truth about us. We who want to believe so much can't believe anybody else can change. And just because we don't believe it doesn't mean it isn't happening. Gospel for today, Jesus picks up the story of John the Baptist, who has been imprisoned. This is like if we began to hear people around the country, not only one person, but seven people, or suddenly 27 people standing up saying, "I have a dream! I have a dream!" We'd say something's going on, wouldn't we? Whoa, yes we would. It isn't time for the dreamers to stand up again. Start the encounter. Well, Jesus is picking up John's story, who's in prison, and he says, "Teshuvah, turn it around. Turn your lives around. The time's here. The reign of God is here. It's near. It's in your hearts. It's with us. Time is short. Follow me." The first question we human beings ask when somebody says, "Follow me," is, "Where are we going?" Jesus never answers. Because in the spiritual life, you can't answer that question. Can't. Where are we going? Well, you enter the stream, and then you will find out. Rumi has a wonderful little poem which says, "Keep moving. Keep moving, though there's nowhere to get to. Don't go looking beyond the horizon for where we're going, because that's not the way it is for us human beings. We don't get that in this lifetime. But move from within. Move from your awareness. Move from what you know. Move from what you love. Move it, but move from within. But don't move in the way that fear makes you move." Perfect love casts out all fear. Move from within. Well, spirituality doesn't give us the long-distance view. And neither does the world this day either, right? Ferguson, France, Nigeria, the Middle East. And we sit here overwhelmed. My God, now what? Don't move from fear. Move from within. Move from what you know to be true. Move from what you love. Because faith is forever turning things inside out. Did you know that the Muslims pray 5 times a day? And that in Christian monasteries, they pray 7 times a day? Who's got time for that? Unless you start praying, and whether it's 1 or 3 or 5 times a day, it is prayer which begins to reorient our lives, doesn't it? And it shifts everything, because we start to see the world through the eyes of the prayer and the heart of God's compassion. And it turns everything inside out. Dog wagging tail or tail wagging dog? How would you like to live? Did you know that this week 1,700 private jets are descending on Davos, Switzerland? And the most powerful financial wizards on the planet are gathering. And do you think they will assess the problems of humanity in its most profound wisdom? Do you think they will come up with solutions which will improve the common good for the whole of humanity? Of equal and perhaps greater value is the work of somebody like Mother Teresa and the Sisters of Charity, who this week will be, as they have for the past numerous decades, helping Hindu dying lepers die better. Of equal and greater value is the work you are doing with loved ones and family, with friends in the community, whether great or small. The actions you choose to live and love are enriching the planet. Just because you don't understand your own life doesn't mean something powerfully and eternally significant isn't happening. We will pray for those gathered in Davos. Maybe next year they'll invite some of you. That's what they need. That's what they need. And we'll pray for Pluto. And we'll pray for what we don't understand. Centuries ago in ancient China, the emperor knew of a great sage who lived in the mountain forests of China. And he needed his counsel, so he sent an emissary and soldiers to go find the sage and bring him back. Eventually, they found him deep in the forest, sitting by a river. And the emissary proudly announced, "By the decree of the emperor, you are hereby summoned to the high court to serve as wise counsel to His Majesty." And the sage, sitting by the river, said, "No thanks. Sir, then it is my obligation to inform you that if you will not come voluntarily, these soldiers shall bind you hand and foot and will drag you back to the emperor's palace." The sage said, "What must I do to gain your compliance?" Well, the sage said, "I'm told that in the emperor's palace there is a magnificent tortoise shell inlaid with silver and gold and filled with the finest jewels and gems of the entire empire. Is that true?" "Yes," said the emissary with greatest pride. "It is the jewel, the symbol of our nation's power and greatness. And nothing can compare to that tortoise shell." The sage said, "You know, in the bottom of this river, there's an old mud turtle. He spends his days floating and digging in the mud and looking for food. Which would you rather be?" The emissary said, If I was a tortoise, I'd rather be the mud turtle." And the sage said, "Leave me alone to sink back into my mud."